Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
I was here on Friday, and I was joking. I said, I'm not going to tell you who I was meeting with, but because lightning hit the church. You know, people always joke, oh, you know, the walls of lightning literally hit the church while we were here. And has anybody ever been in a building that hit by lightning before? It was my first experience. And I was back here in my office, and then Jen Clark was cleaning, and lightning hit, and it made this huge noise. You felt it, and it lit up. The whole place, like, lit up.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So it was, light bulbs went off. It was pretty exciting. Anyway, so praise the Lord. Yes. God is so good. And what the enemy has meant to steal, we know you know, I remember that there was an old song we used to sing a long time ago. I'm going to go to the enemy's camp, and I'm going to take back what belongs to me, right?
Yeah.
So we don't let the enemy steal anything from us. And so, you know, when that happened, you know, of course, we went around to make sure nothing was on fire. And nothing was. And all the internet, the telephones, all that stuff just was gone. And but then I did not know, because I don't know anything about that kind of thing, but the soundboard also got hit. And so, but we just say, be in agreement with us that it's repairable.
Yes.
It's the praise team has been, they believe God for that soundboard for a couple of years. Because it's all digital, it's super fancy, and so we're not going to let the enemy steal that from them, right? And so anyway, so that's why today we had an acoustic set, and but these guys do a great job no matter what, right? So, praise God. You know, that's the thing, you know, circumstances don't always line up with your plan. But you just got to keep going and do what God's called you to
come
do,
on.
Right?
Yes.
You know, it's not even going to be like, oh, we can't have church because we don't have, I mean, that'd be silly. That'd be silly. You know, think about it. Jesus didn't have a microphone, right? You know? Reinhard Bonnke, when he goes to Africa and speaks to a million people, I'll tell you, there's no sound system that can reach a million people, but just supernaturally, his voice. They hear his voice. It's just amazing what they do over there. You know, so it's, we just keep praising God. And do what God's called us to do. The anointing has been so strong all three services because God loves somebody who's going to persevere. Amen?
Yes.
God loves somebody who's going to persevere. We're not going to let anything deter us from the things of God, right?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Well, glory. Well, today we're going to end our series on love. Now, don't cry about it. We're going to end our series on love. I know you guys are probably slightly tired of it. You shouldn't be, though, because this is the power that will change your life. You know, as I was meditating and thinking, and really if you think about it, the greatest event of all time, what changed the world more than any other event in history, that event was brought by love. Because John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It was love that changed the world. And you know what's going to change your world?
Love.
You know what's going to change my world? Love. You know what's going to change the world?
Love.
You know, we say that kind of like, you know, like that's a Coke commercial or whatever. But the thing about it is, we got to go back to the root of it and remember that that is a true statement.
Yes.
It is the love of God that's going to change the world.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Because the Bible says it's the love of God that leads to repentance.
Yes.
It's not the knowledge of God. It's not the judgment of God. It's not what you know. It's not what you're saying. It's not what you. It's none of that. What leads people, what draws people into the kingdom of God is God's love.
Amen.
And you know where people first see God's love? In you.
Yes.
It's in you. And so if we truly want to change the world, you know, everybody's like, oh, let's change the world. You know, if we truly want to change the world, then we're going to allow the love of God to flow through us and out of us. Amen? Because that really is the greatest power there is. It is greater than anything else. The Bible says that love never fails. It says that God is love.
Yes.
And so when we're talking about love, it's not like, oh, it's a feel-good message and, you know, to help me treat people better. No, this is a world-changing message.
Amen.
Yes.
the world-changing message. Sometimes we're looking for something that's more profound or maybe sounds fancier. Or maybe you could put on a bumper sticker or something like that and say, oh, that's what we need. No, we need the simple love never fails.
Amen.
That's what we need. That's what the world needs.
That's right.
Amen? And so that's why this is so important, is to see how love works, how it works. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6, it says this: if you are a follower of Christ Jesus, all that matters is your faith that makes you love others. God says what matters in life is not your accomplishments or your achievements or your fame or your wealth. What matters in life is one thing, is that you love others. He says if you've missed that, you've missed what's the most important thing in life. And when we read 1 Corinthians 13, I've read it every week, but just to summarize it, it says, you know, we could say it like this: if I don't live a life of love, nothing I say will matter. You know, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, have people stopped listening to me? People don't listen to you anymore. It may be that you've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, and you've become annoying. It's because you don't have any love in what you're saying.
Come on, man.
And so instead of talking so much, let's just get back to loving on people.
Yes.
Because the Bible tells us you can have, speak with the tongues of angels, but if you don't have love, it doesn't matter. So if I don't live a life with love, nothing I know will matter. If I don't live a life with love, nothing I believe will matter. If I don't live a life of love, nothing I give will matter. If I don't live a life of love, nothing I accomplish will matter. We can summarize it like this. I read this, I thought it was so good. God says, I can have the eloquence of an orator, the knowledge of a genius, the faith of a miracle worker, the generosity of a philanthropist, the achievements of a superstar. But if I don't have love in my heart, it is worth zero. Mm-hmm. It doesn't count. The only thing that matters to God is, do I love him and do I love other people? Isn't that good?
Yeah.
So good. And so we've learned these last few weeks, we've covered lots of stuff about love. One of the most important things being that love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. Love is a choice. Colossians says to put on love. Just like you put your shirt on today, you know, you put it on, we got to put on love. We got to say, I choose to put on love today, to act in a loving manner. We've talked about how love does not envy, love has a long fuse, that love is kind, that love is patient. We've talked that love is respectful, love is not rude. And so when we think about all these things, I saved the best one for last. Best one.
Amen.
The best one. Thank you, Pastor Steve. He's
yes.
been in all three services. So, but you know what? This one doesn't usually get a big rip roar. Amen. You know, it doesn't get people running around. But I'll tell you what, if a lot of people, we miss it in this area and we don't understand all the blessings that come with this one thing. And that is, you guys ready?
Yes.
You ready? Love is humble. Woo, glory. Relax yourselves. Calm your, you know, I always say that to my dog, Gilby. He always gets, I'm always like, Gilby, calm yourself, you know. I'll tell you guys, calm yourselves. You know, don't get so excited about the message. Love is humble. But here's the thing. 1 John 3:18 says this. Let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. Real love. So if we're going to do it right. Let's go all the way. Let's get let's get everything about love. Let's not just do some of it and not get the whole thing. I want real love. How about you? I want the real deal. I don't want anything fake. You know, I said my birthday's coming up. You've got a few shopping days left. I know you're counting them. You're counting down. October 2nd, in case you don't know. October 2nd. I'm going to tell you something. Do not buy me anything fake. You know, people are always like, oh, I'm going to New York, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. But you know, the thing is, when we have the fake stuff, and I've had it, it's nice, and you know, it looks really pretty, and nobody else knows it's fake because it's such a good fake, right? Nobody else knows it's fake. But you know who knows it's fake?
You do.
You know it's fake.
Yep.
And so when people are like, oh, I really like your so-and-so purse, on the inside, you're like, it's fake. You know, you can't be like, thank you, you know, you're like, thanks. And so it looks good on the outside and everything, but you know. And so let's not be fake about loving people. Let's not be fake about our walk with God. Let's not put it on when people are around. You ever notice sometimes when people are around, people all of a sudden start praying, and like they sound like a completely different person? You know, and you're like praying, you're like, who is that? Who is that? We don't need to be fake. Let's practice real love. Let's let it be in us so that it comes out of us. Amen? Because you know what? That's what the world needs. That's what I need. That's what you need. We need change. And you know what changed this world more than anything? Was for God so loved the world. You know what's going to change your world more than anything? When you start loving like God loves. Because one of the things is, when you start loving like God loves, it helps you experience God's love greater for yourself. Helps you experience it great. You have a better understanding, a deeper knowledge of it, because you're not just talking about it, you're walking in it. You're walking in it. How many know if somebody can tell you how to do something and you're like, oh, okay, but then when you're actually doing it, how many know that's a better understanding of it?
Yes.
You know, the same thing for love. Let's not just talk about love. The Bible tells us let's practice real love. And the good thing about it is we can practice it. Doesn't mean we're going to be great at it at first, but we can practice. How many know you get better at stuff when you practice?
Amen.
You know, I'll tell you something you probably don't know about me, is I was a trumpet player for years.
Yes.
True story. Yes, true story. I was a trumpet player, played classical music, jazz music. I used to be, you know, play over at the Breakers sometimes for the older people dancing, you know, they have a big band and there we'd be playing. I loved it. But you know, from going to where you begin to going to where you get paid for something, how many know that's a pretty big jump. When I first started playing the trumpet, nobody in my family played any instruments. I didn't know how to read music. I didn't know anything. But somebody in school taught me from nothing to not even being how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb to where you're getting paid to play. That's a pretty big jump. But you know, there's a whole lot of practice. When I first started playing, no joke, my neighbor called the house, and wanted to, I'm not even joking with you, wanted to know what kind of animal we had at our house. I'm not even kidding, that's a true statement. And I was like, animal? He goes, yeah, he goes, is your dog out? And I was like, I'm practicing my trumpet. He's like, Oh, okay. True story. That is a true story. But what happened? I just kept practicing, and as I practiced, I got better. And you know what? The Bible tells us, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. So right where you're at right now, maybe you came from a family that wasn't very loving, and maybe this is just all totally, it's like a foreign language to have a long fuse, to be kind, to prefer other people, to not be rude, to be respectful. Maybe that's like a foreign language to you. But as you practice it, it's going to become where it's just second nature. Yes. And it is who you are.
Yes.
Amen? So we're going to practice. So today we're going to practice on that love is not conceited or proud. And so the King James Bible says it like this. It says, charity, which means love, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And so love is humble. One of the things about humility is that humility is one of the most misunderstood concepts. Because a lot of people, if we were to go out on the street and we were to ask, you know, Joe walking down the road, hey, you know, what is humility to you? A lot of people would put humility in the same category as weakness. As weakness. When really the exact opposite is true. To be a person who is humble, who has humility, you have to be a person of great strength and self-control. Amen? It's easy to just say whatever you want to say. It's easy to be a big mouth. It's easy to be a bully. It's easy to push your way around. That's easy. What takes strength is to restrain yourself.
Amen.
That takes strength. And humility is restraint. Humility does not think less of itself. A lot of people think, oh, if I'm going to be humble, I got to think that I'm no good, I can't do anything, oh, I'm less than. No, that is not humility. And so here's some things that humility is not. Humility is not shyness. It's not being timid or bashful. It's not being a weak or spineless wimp. Humility is not, listen, not a lack of confidence. It's not insecurity, and it's definitely not having a low opinion of yourself. The Bible tells us that Jesus was very humble, and yet Jesus did not have a low opinion of himself. Jesus did not have a lack of confidence, because remember, Jesus said things like this: if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
Yes, that's right.
How many? That's pretty bold.
Yes.
And then he says, if you've heard me, you've heard the Father. He said, I only do what my Father does.
Yes.
I mean, he definitely didn't have a low self, he didn't have a self-esteem problem, right?
Right.
But yet the Bible says that he was humble. Being humble, being a person of humility, is not being a passive doormat. How many times as a Christian, or have we seen like in the media, where a Christian person has stood up for their rights or their beliefs, and somebody says, well, aren't you a Christian?
Yeah.
Like, we should just let people do whatever because we're Christians.
Right.
That's not what humility is. Humility doesn't just lay down and say, have your way, do whatever. That is not humility. That is false humility.
Yes.
That's false humility. Humility is not having poor self-esteem. It's not putting yourself down all the time. And it's not speaking negatively over yourself.
That's right.
First of all, if you're speaking negatively over yourself, you need to stop. You need to stop doing that. You know, I hate to hear people say, oh, I'm so stupid. It's like even difficult for me to even say that. Because it's just so, you're talking about, you know, maybe you feel that way about you, but you need to remember you are a creation of God. God made you. You're talking about something that God made.
Yes,
and for you to say that, you're putting down something that the Creator, the one who created the heavens and the earth,
yes,
he made you. And so, you know, we need to just stop doing that right now. Amen? You know, just ask the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, help me to not speak negatively over myself and put myself down.
Yes.
Let's build ourselves up. You know, it's so true, but when we train people how to treat us, you train people how to treat you. If you don't respect yourself, you're going to train people not to respect you. Did you hear that?
True.
If you speak down about yourself, then suddenly you're going to find that the people around you are agreeing with you. Yeah, you're right, you are. You know? And we don't want that, right?
No.
So we train people how to treat us. But today we're going to talk about humility, and that it takes an enormous amount of courage to be a person of humility.
Yes.
It takes self-confidence, it takes high self-esteem, it takes personal security. In fact, really, insecure people cannot be humble. They can't. Because insecurity is very often masked by pride. And pride and humble are two opposite things. You know, when someone is insecure, a lot of times they'll try to burn your candle or put you down to make themselves look better. And that is the opposite of being humble. And so pride is something we want to stay away from. When we find someone who's arrogant or prideful or boastful, egotistical and self-centered, you can know that really they are masking a personal insecurity somewhere. You know, even with bullies, you know, bullying is a big deal. Every bully, without exception, is insecure.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if you are secure, you don't have to put other people down.
That's right. Amen.
But insecure people must point out the weaknesses in others.
Mm-hmm.
And so any bully, they try to act all tough and big, but really the root is you don't feel big on the inside. You are insecure, and that's why you're bullying. So being a person who is humble, a person of humility, takes great strength. Great strength. And so pride usually covers up insecurity. And so we need to make sure that we make a decision that we're not going to let pride be in our lives. And we'll talk a little bit more about pride. But first, I want to talk to you about how great it is to be a person who's humble. It is great to be a person who's humble, and here's why. Because all through the Bible, God gives promises to the humble. And so let me tell you one. Three times in God's word, he says he gives grace to the humble.
Yes.
Now let me remind you what grace is. And when you hear how great grace is, you're going to do whatever it takes to get that grace. Because the grace of God is so powerful. powerful. Yes. Here's what grace is. This is my definition. God's grace is all God's power, all God's ability, all his goodness, all his love, all of it balled up. That's called grace. Amen? You know, and the Bible tells us in Ephesians that his grace is abounding towards me.
Yes.
It's abounding towards me. But here we go. Here, let me tell you what Webster's says. Even Webster's on the internet has a great definition for grace. It says, it's divine love and protection bestowed freely on people. Pretty good?
Yes.
The state of being protected or sanctified by the favor of God. It's good. Listen to this one. An excellence or power granted by God.
Yes.
How many say I'll take it?
I'll take it.
I want all of it I can get. How about you? Well, here we go. Let me. This is going to help you. Well, you want to know what being humble is when you hear these scriptures, because you believe the word's right, right?
Yes.
The Bible tells us in Proverbs, it says, surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
James 4:6 says this, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Hold on a minute. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What is God's grace? It's his favor. It's his favor. It's his power. It's his mercy. It's all that good stuff. All the good stuff. He gives that to the humble. But here, sometimes we want to just leapfrog over that, resist the proud, like pretend we didn't hear it. You know, let's just move on past that. I don't want to hear that. Because we never want to think about God resisting anybody, right? I mean, you know, we live in a super politically correct society. It's getting worse every day. I'm going to let you in on a secret. This Bible is not politically correct.
Praise God.
It is the opposite of politically correct.
Yes.
Everything in here is not going to give you warm fuzzies. It's not going to make you feel all warm and gooey on the inside. A lot of stuff in here is going to make you be like, whoa, I need to get some things straight. Or, all right. It's going to straighten you out.
Uh-huh.
The Bible tells us that in Hebrews, it says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I love how the Message Bible says it's able to expose you for who you really are.
Uh-huh.
I love that. But you know what? It's uncomfortable to be exposed. That's uncomfortable. And so when we hear the word, sometimes, a lot of times, it makes us uncomfortable. But you know what? The Word of God's job is not to make you comfortable. The church's job is not to make you comfortable.
Come on.
My job is not to make you comfortable. But you know what? There is a tendency, and it is moving in the churches, it's moving in the body of Christ, where we want to just make you comfortable so you'll keep coming, so you'll keep giving, so we'll have big numbers. But you know what? That is not the job of the church.
That's right.
And if we continue in that, the church will get weaker and weaker.
That's right.
Because how many, just physically, if I gave this body, this mountain of muscle that you see before you, if I gave this everything it wanted, and I just made it comfortable, which I do too much, but if I did it like all the way, I'd be dead soon. I'd be dead. Because you know what this body wants? It wants Reese's cups. It wants chocolate chip cookies.
Come on, man.
It wants any type of carb there is toasted with butter on it. That's all it wants. That's all it wants. It wants French fries. But you know, if I gave it only what it wanted,
come on,
then I would be sick. And I'd be dead.
So bad.
And I tell you what, in the body of Christ, there is a tendency, there is a move that is a pressure from that politically correct environment to just give people what they want. But it's making the church weak.
Yeah, come on.
Even in 1 Corinthians, in what we just read from communion, it tells us later on, it says for us to judge our own hearts. To repent. And it says, because we don't do that, he says, because of that, many of you are weak and slumber.
Yeah.
The body of Christ, in some places, not all places, is weak and slumbering because it's only getting told what makes it feel comfortable. That's not my job. I will stand before Jesus one day. And the Bible says there is a higher expectation and accountability to pastors. I will stand before God one day, and He's not going to say, "Did you make them comfortable? Did you make them feel warm and fuzzy and good every Sunday?" He's not going to ask me that. You know what He's going to? You know what He's going to hold me accountable to? Did you preach the word?
Amen.
And the word says, "God resists the proud."
Amen.
We don't like to hear that. We don't want to hear that, but it is truth.
Amen.
Not just in that scripture. I'll tell you another one. You never want to pull one scripture out and preach it. You need to have at least two. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble."
Hallelujah.
And you know, actually, there's many promises to the humble in the Word. But when it says God resists the proud, we need to be so in tune with this word where we know that's truth. So as soon as we hear that there is for any reason that God would resist me, I want to search my heart and make sure I don't have it.
Amen.
Amen? Because this word is truth. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Doesn't mean God doesn't care for you. Doesn't mean He doesn't have a plan for you. God will never not love you.
Amen.
Your actions will never, ever cause God not to love you. That will never happen. But there are courses in life we can take that are not pleasing to God, that do not lead to the place where God has for us. And so we need to say, "Man, is there, Lord, help me search my heart. Is there anything in my life where I'm in pride?" And here's what pride is, very simply. Pride isn't, you know, running around saying, "I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest." Now, I guess that's part of it, I guess. But a very simple way to see pride is just putting yourself above God, putting your ideas above God. Pride is what got the devil kicked out of heaven in the first place. What happened? He tried to elevate himself above God, and he got the boot. God resists the pride. And so here's a way that really all of us, I mean, the mirror is right here. This is not a like this. This is a all of us. Here's a way that we can all have pride in our lives that we need to recognize and turn away from. Because the Bible tells us there's seven things that God hates. We don't hear that word hate in the Bible very much, but there's seven things He hates. You know what the number one thing is? Pride. Pride. And two of those seven are lying. Watch what you say. But pride. Here's a real simple way to know if I'm in pride. When we know the word, we hear the word, we have an understanding of the word, of God's principles, of God's practices, of His way of doing things. We hear it, and then we say, "But I'm going to do it this way. I've heard what You said, Lord. I understand it, but I choose through my actions to live differently." That is pride. That is absolutely pride. And God resists that. So how does that happen? People don't say it. No, people don't say it. We don't walk around going, "You know, I know the word, but I'm choosing not to do it." Nobody says that, right? Nobody says that. Here's what we do. We hear the word, and then we go live a different way. And then when things don't work out, we want to blame God.
That's right.
And we want to say, "Why isn't this working?" It's not working because you're not doing it the way God told you to do it. It's like trying to put something together and reading the directions and say, "Oh, I got a better way. I got a better way." Because that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, in tithing, people do it in tithing all the time. Now, listen, we don't put a lot of pressure on people to give. You should give because the word tells you to give. That's why you should give. Very simple. It's very simple. Why should you tithe? Because God said to. Amen. Very easy. So you're either going to obey the word or you're not. It's that simple. But, you know, people hear the word about tithing. They know the word. They understand it. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. They hear it. But then they're like, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm just going to do my own thing. And then it's like things aren't working out. Why aren't things working out? Well, I'll tell you why. This morning, the Lord spoke to me so clearly, gave me the best word about tithing. Just blew my socks off. I haven't had socks on at the time, but it just really blew me away. You know, I get the call on Saturday. They say, hey, a whole bunch of electrical stuff. Blown to bits. Got to be replaced. All right, you know. Praise the Lord. God's our source. Never get discouraged. Go to the Lord. So then I get the call this morning, and they say, hey, there's no sound system. When the lightning hit the church, it blew out the soundboard. That soundboard cost
$2,300.
And it was used. A good deal. I sound like that twice. So I'm like, you know, a moment. And so we had a church, Pastor Paul Fosley, sent us an offering. Which is just amazing, because I've told you before, churches don't give money to other churches. They just don't do it. But he sows into us every once in a while.
Yes.
And you know what we do with it? We sow into local churches here, because we're going to follow his example. Okay. And so anyway, so he sends us a check for $3,000.
Wow.
We sow out immediately right to a local church. Send it out. So then I get all this news about all this stuff blowing up, and my mind says, I'm just being real with you. My mind says, all that money is going to be gone.
Come on.
And the Holy Ghost, as I'm standing there drying my hair, the Holy Ghost rose so big on the inside of me, he said this to me. He said, money that is tithed on is never gone.
Amen.
It is never gone. It always has the redeeming power of God.
Hallelujah.
Because the Bible tells us in Romans, when the first fruit is blessed, when the first fruit is holy, it's sanctified, the lump is blessed. So you know what that means? We immediately tithe on that money. That means what is left has the redeeming power of God. It is in. You know what blessed means? We say, oh, you're blessed. You know what that means? The word blessed means that you've been empowered to prosper. The power has been put into you to prosper. That everything your hand touches prospers.
Yes.
And so when you tithe, your money is never gone. Because you have always got that redeeming power. The power of God is working in it. You may not be able to see it, but there is a supernatural working going on that you can't see that is bigger than 1 plus 1 equals 2. It is bigger than that. And so the Lord spoke that to me, and I was like, that is right. That is right. That money is not gone. That money, it's not going to be gone. It is working. It is working. It is working. Amen? I thank God for that.
Yes.
But you know what? When you don't tithe, your money's gone. Because there's no power. You say, oh, that doesn't make me feel good. I'm not trying to make you feel good. I'm trying to set you free with the truth. It's my job.
Amen.
It's not my job to make you feel good.
Yes.
And so we've got to know that when the Bible speaks truth, when we choose to go a different direction and handle our money on our own, you're in pride. You're in pride. And God resists that. You say, why isn't anything working? Because God's resisting it. But he gives grace to the humble.
Yes, man.
He gives grace to the humble. Let's keep going. Was that a good word God gave me? Oh, so good. So good. God gives grace. Here's some promises God gives to the humble. God supports the humble. All through the word you read about it. He supports the humble. He promises to guide the humble. He gives wisdom to the humble. He rescues the humble. He promises to exalt the humble. Over and over again, God says, I will honor you if you're humble. With humility comes honor. And here's a great scripture. I want you to write this down. It's so good. Isaiah 66, verse number 2. This is so good. It says, the people I treasure most are the humble. They depend on me. Isn't that good? The people I treasure most are the humble. They depend on me.
Oh, I love that. So you know what that shows me? What is humility? It's depending on God. Humility is saying, Lord, your way, not mine. Humility is a choice. It is an act, it is a way of being. Just like every other thing, love is patient, that's a choice. Love is kind, that's a choice. Love is not easily angered, that's a choice. Love is humble, that's a choice. I choose to depend on God. I choose to make God the number one in my life. I choose to follow him. So when we think about what is humility, a lot of people think it's thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking less of yourself. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It means that I'm going to think more of others. It's going to be less about me and more about others, more about God. And so I want to give you one way that you can practice humility in your life. And this is the most important place to start. The way that we can practice humility, because remember, practice, we're going to get better and better, right? But we got to start. We got to start somewhere. I had to start with Mary Had a Little Lamb. First, I had to start with just making something that didn't sound like noise. But then as you practice, you get better. So we're going to practice humility in our lives. Number one way to practice humility is by surrendering your plans to God. Surrendering your plans to God. You know, a lot of people have walking with God backwards. We've got being a Christian backwards. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like, to be followers of Christ. Remember in Galatians it says, if you are a follower of Christ, a follower, say follower.
Follower.
If you are a follower. And so if I'm going to be a follower of Christ, what does that mean? What do I need to do?
Follow
Christ.
Follow.
Right?
Yes.
Right? It's not rocket science.
Follow.
People make things so complicated. I need to follow him. But here's what a lot of people are doing in their walk with God, and it's not working, and it will never work. It will never work. You want God to follow you. You want God to follow you. You're saying, oh, I give my heart to Jesus. I love you, Lord. I know you love me, and you're so good, and you're so great. Our God is awesome. Come follow me, because I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it with who I want to do it with. I'm going to do it how I want to do it. I know what your word says. I'm going to do it anyway. I want you to clean up after me. I want you to protect me. I want you to provide for me. I want you to be there for me. Come follow me, Lord. That's how a lot of people are living their lives. And then they're like, this doesn't seem to be working. Well, what does my favorite commercial say? That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. We're followers of Christ. We got it backwards. And you know why we got it backwards? Because we're filled with pride. We're filled with pride, think we know better. We don't say it out loud, but we say it every day in our actions. I know better, I'm going to do it my way. We've got to be shaken. You know what? I surrender. A person who is a person of humility, we surrender to those over us.
Yes.
God is our Lord. Everybody wants Jesus to be their Savior, but very few want Jesus to be their Lord.
That's right.
Because when he's your Lord, we say, Lord, have your way.
Amen.
Have your way. We all want the Savior part, but we want to keep doing things our way. And you know what? That's not going to work out for you too good. Are you still going to go to heaven? Sure you are. There's only one reason why people don't go to heaven. They do not accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They don't say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and he rose again. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know what? You can make life here a whole lot better by saying, you're my Lord and my Savior. There's a scripture that's a good prayer, good scripture to pray over ourselves. It's Psalms 119, verse number 37. It says, God, turn me away from wanting any other plan than yours. God, turn me away from wanting any other plan than yours.
Humility is surrendering your plan to God for His. Lord, turn me away from wanting any other plan than yours. Let's take the Bible seriously. And when it says that God resists something, let's check it out. When it says that God honors those who are humble, let's make sure that's us. Let's have a humble attitude. A humble attitude and a humble spirit says, Lord, your way, not mine. A humble spirit is able to be quiet and listen, not have to know everything. A humble decision is letting other people have something to say. Let somebody else be the one with the answer. Let's let other people go first. Let's have be a person of humility. But most importantly, let's surrender our plan to the Lord's. The Bible tells us over and over, it says, humble yourself before the Lord. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God will humble you. No.
No.
You know why? Because humility is a choice. It's a choice we make. And we need to be people of humility and say, Lord, you are smarter than I am. You are Jehovah Jireh. You see ahead and you provide. Your word is a light unto my path. Your word tells me in Psalms 32:8 that you will lead me on the best pathway for my life. And so, Lord, I don't want to lead anymore. Please, lead. What do you got to do to stop leading? You got to let the leader go in front of you and lead.
Yes.
You ever follow somebody that doesn't know where they're going?
Yes.
Isn't it the worst?
Oh,
it's the worst. But you know what? That's what we're doing in our own lives. You are not Jehovah Jireh. You cannot see ahead. You cannot. You do not know the beginning and the end. He does.
Amen.
The best person to lead anywhere is someone who's been there before. God sees ahead. Let's let Him lead. Let's let Him lead. It's going to turn out better for us. Because God gives grace to the humble. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, our heart's cry is that Psalms 119. Father, we cry out to you. We say, Lord, turn our hearts away from any plan that is not of you. Oh, Holy Spirit, search us. If there is pride in any area of our life, we just ask you, Holy Spirit, you are the revealer of truth. We ask you to reveal to us and show us, because our heart is to be humble. To be humble. Oh, search our hearts and expose any pride that's there. Because, Lord, we want to humble ourselves before you. We say, be the Lord of our life and our Savior. Lord, have your way. Have your way. We submit and humble ourselves to you. Oh, just thank you. Let's just stay in this presence of God for a minute. You know, we've asked the Holy Spirit to reveal some things to us. You've got to give Him time to do that. And so let's just sit for a moment and give the Lord an opportunity to speak to each of our hearts. Give us the courage and the strength to be people of humility, to humble ourselves, Lord. Oh, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to stay the way we are. By your power, by your grace, we can be molded and changed to be more like you. And that is our heart's desire. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, aren't you glad for God? He's so good. He's so good. I encourage you this week, just be asking the Lord, Lord, help me recognize areas where I need to be a person of humility. Help me make sure that I'm putting you first, and you're in the lead, and not me. Not me. I tell you, I don't want to lead my life. I don't have enough smarts for it. I want God to lead it, because he knows everything. Amen? Amen. All right, here's what we're going to do. You guys ready? We're going to receive a supernatural offering.